A slow and steady recovery? Good economic news from China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith in for David Brancaccio with a look at the global perspective on best business and economics. China just reported some strong trade numbers for July. Exports were up 5% from a year earlier. That's helping quell worries that the world's second largest economy is slowing down. Here to talk about this with us is Sean Ryan, Managing Director of the China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Good morning, Sean.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So, Sean, 5% growth for trade in China, that seems like very good news.
Yeah, you're starting to see that a lot of construction is continuing, and so you're going to continue to see commodity prices being a lot stronger than a lot of analysts have expected, and that's good news for the Australian dollar and a lot of the economies around the world that have grown reliant on China's fast growth.
Right. I mean, the numbers even in June were negative numbers, so this marks quite a turnaround, right?
It shows a lot of stabilization, and I think it's good. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I'm quite concerned about the health of the economy over the next 12 to 18 months. I think it's very reasonable that the government can hit a 7.5% GDP growth target. The question is, should it? Because part of the problem is there's been too much construction going on in order to prop up a lot of those growth numbers.
Right. I mean, there have been a lot of worries that, you know, the second largest economy in the world is been slowing down. What numbers are you going to be watching for going forward in addition to the trade numbers?
I think for me, what's important is not so much about GDP. What I'm interested in are energy numbers, transportation numbers, and very importantly, consumer confidence and retail sales growth. Because you're obviously going to have a slowdown in manufacturing if the government is able to get the country to move away from export and heavy investment-oriented growth more towards consumption. So it's actually a good sign in many ways if the manufacturing index is dropping, as long as you're seeing consumption continuing to remain strong.
Sean Ryan is the Managing Director of the China Market Research Group in Shanghai. Sean, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Markets are mixed this morning. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index stepped up 0.3%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index fell 1.5%. European markets are having a good morning. London's FTSE is up 0.3%. U.S. markets lost ground yesterday. The Dow fell 0.3% to close at 15,470. Today we get the weekly crop export report from the USDA. The U.S. exports about half of its wheat, and prices are a little high right now, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Good morning, 10 before 5. Time to take a look at market activity and overnight trade. And
that was a farm report a few weeks ago.
Also the wheat market, people wondering just what Egypt is going to be doing.
What Egypt did is buy its next big wheat delivery from Romania and Ukraine instead of the U.S. Other Middle Eastern countries are doing the same, says Vince Peterson of U.S. Wheat Associates.
Coming out of the Black Sea at this time of year, their wheat, frankly, is so cheap that it's cheaper than anything else in all those markets.
Farmers' costs in Eastern Europe are much lower for land and labor. What the U.S. can compete on, says Peterson, is quality. One reason U.S. wheat exports to South America and Asia are soaring.
We don't compete generally on price. If we're not essentially the Cadillac of the marketplace, we probably aren't competitive in doing them.
Wheat prices are down about 15% this year, but yields are pretty good and no one's expecting trouble down on the farm. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You may have heard about the new health insurance marketplace scheduled to be up and running in October. Turns out there are other healthcare marketplaces, except instead of selling coverage, they sell services like MRIs and sonograms. From Dallas, KERA's Lauren Silverman reports.
When Cynthia Piero needed an MRI a few months ago, she didn't pick up her phone to call a doctor. She went online to search for a deal.
I was extremely excited because I've had MRIs in the past, and they're usually over $1,000. And here was one for right around $400.
Piero found the MRI on a site called DealWell.com. It's like a price line for medical services. You can either take the discounted rate that's posted or bid even lower.
So you come to our site, you type in your zip code, and we'll show you a list of providers near you for an eye exam, a teeth cleaning, or a massage or a spa treatment.
Jeff Fisher is president and co-founder of the Dallas-based startup.
It's just crazy that it's 2013, and for so many things in the health and wellness category, you go in, you have the procedure, and then you come out and they hand you a bill, and that's the first time you have any idea of the price.
So on sites like DealWell, prices are front and center. Hundreds of service providers pay a monthly fee to be featured. And it's not just dentists and massage therapists. There are primary care physicians, even bariatric surgeons. Dr. Dirk Rodriguez has done more than 8,000 weight loss surgeries. He knows advertising this way is a bit risky.
I didn't want to cheapen it, okay? I didn't want them to think it was a buy one, get one free type thing, which is not it. It's a big ticket item, number one, and it's a major surgery.
On DealWell, Rodriguez is offering free consultations. So how's it going?
Actually, as soon as I get a DealWell patient in, I'll let you know, but I've not had anybody come in yet.
Deal sites do have the potential to become more popular, according to David Williams of the Health Business Group.
But you won't be shopping online for the bulk of your medical services.
As more people get insurance, deal sites, he says, will end up selling specialty, mostly cosmetic services, not dialysis or heart surgeries, at least for now. In Dallas, I'm Lauren Silverman for Marketplace.
And finally, it's not just about sparkling or tap anymore. L.A. restaurant Ray's and Stark Bar is going to start offering diners a water menu, a 45-page water menu to be exact. The most expensive offering, Berg, harvested from the glaciers of western Greenland at $20 a bottle. And if you're stumped, you can consult their water sommelier. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.